wanna be down with the king.
Welcome to The Bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, featuring John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
I love being around them.
Get involved by phone at 713-780-3776. Now coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, the kings of Houston sports radio, John and Lance.
Good Tuesday morning, everybody. John and Brad Kellner joining us this morning, as opposed to Lance, who's not here. He's lazy. Aaron is here as well. We'll have Jimbo Fisher in about 15 minutes right here on ESPN 97.5. And Sage Rosenfels joins us for half an hour a little bit later to talk about pro football. What was it like getting up this morning?
Horrible.
What did you do in Austin? Afternoons or?
I did morning drive producing for 4 years, then went to midday hosting and then afternoon drive hosting.
Yeah.
And over my 4 years doing mornings, I never got used to the schedule. And like my first day of not doing mornings was the greatest day of my life.
So producing, you have to get up even early because you strolled in here just a couple minutes ago.
Right.
You produce, you have to get here early and put together a lot of crap.
Really is the best part of hosting.
Yes. Yes, that is the best part of hosting, is you don't have to get here early like a producer and put together the whole show. But my question is, did you accidentally leave that mustache on, or did you miss it shaving this morning? What was the deal?
For Movember, trying to raise money.
Oh, this is Movember.
This is the Movember stash, so I'm not allowed within 500 yards of any school
for
the remainder of the month, but trying to raise money for men's health issues.
You twitchers need to get on and see this thing, because it is... It's a Groucho thing you got kind of going on there.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, no.
How's my Lance impersonation today, by the way?
It's not, no. You're not even close. See, Lance, right. Lance would have spilled over a coffee already over. You haven't done that once.
Plenty of time.
Yeah, and he'd be rolling his chair in just before, and it was as we're starting the show. You're not very Lance-like. So, and you didn't limp in. None of that. So you're not. It's not like Lance at all.
I haven't played any disc golf lately, so no injuries.
No one has played disc golf.
No.
No one plays disc golf, especially at his age. Okay. So it was so funny. We were out at the golf tournament, and he says, "I'm going to play disc golf," and I honestly thought, "Oh, he's going to hurt himself disc golfing." And sure enough, he was in the hospital that day. It was so predictable. But I want to tell you this. I played with the guys from CCA. We had the CCA golf tournament over at Wildcat. And one of the guys was from Austin, and he was mad that we had stolen you from Austin. He was a big fan of yours.
Oh, nice.
But he was moving here, so he said it's good because he'll be able to listen to you in the afternoons.
Love that.
You were quite the thing in Austin, weren't you?
Yeah, it's not happening here.
No, it's not.
But in Austin, had a good run up there, and loved it up there, but happy to be there.
You got to give it a little time. Yeah,
sure.
Brad. I'm sure you weren't a big cheese up in Austin right away.
Oh, man, I started working in Austin my senior year of college, so people hated me. People always hate the new guy, but when you're 22 years old and you're on the air, people are like, man, get this guy out of here. He has no idea what he's doing. So
it'll
take time, but loving it so far, loving working with you guys, and it's been fun, man.
Yeah, no. You guys got a nice rapport in the afternoon, but this Longhorn thing that's going on this year, I mean, it's worse than ever. I mean, I thought it was bad under Charlie Strong, and then it got bad under Herman, but this is ridiculous.
It is, yeah, and if they lose on Friday, it'll be an 8-game losing streak, the first 8-loss season for Texas since 1956, which was the year before DKR was hired in Austin. So, yeah, the worst year that 90% of people listening have ever seen from Texas football. It's bad. And Sark was brought in. He was supposed to be an upgrade over Tom Herman, and we were supposed to see immediate results. And
did you think that, though?
I'm
still wondering why. Why do people think that Sark was going to be an upgrade over Tom Herman?
Look, the reason Tom Herman lost his job isn't solely based on what happened on the field, right? I mean, he ticked off just about every stakeholder surrounding the Texas football program. So that was a big part of why things fell apart last year. But, yeah, I mean, people bought into what Sark did at Alabama, right? I mean, look, any offensive coordinator can seemingly have success. We're seeing Bill O'Brien have some success.
Well, and we're seeing Bill O'Brien being a candidate for the LSU job.
Which is absurd. But, yeah, Texas fell in love with the offensive genius that they saw from Sark for the last couple of years, and they figured, all right, You know, this guy has gone through the Nick Saban coaching car wash, as I call it. He's come out clean the other side. Things should work out, and obviously not the case. So they're not moving on after this year, but, man, if this team is 4-7 at this time next season, I don't think there's going to be a year three for Sark.
Oh, no. He's got to, there's no question. He's got to turn around in a hurry. He'd probably get about 30 guys through the portal.
Yeah.
I wouldn't blame him because for whatever reason, all your 4 and 5 stars never pan out. I don't know. I can't blame it on development anymore because it was happening under Mac. It was happening under Charlie. It was happening under Herman. And now it's happening under Sark. There's something about the going up to the 40 acres that just, it's just ridiculous what happens to these really, really good football players.
Something in the water, right?
It's inexplicable.
Yeah.
It really is.
You know, part of me thinks it's the city of Austin, right? Just think about how much the city of Austin has grown and how it's just a booming town nowadays, right? And I don't think everybody who plays college football at UT is focused on just being a college football player. I think a big part of the reason why guys go to the University of Texas is because, well, it's a great university, but it's also in the city of Austin, which is just one of the coolest cities in the country. Like, you think about Tuscaloosa, Alabama, there's nothing to do there besides playing football. You think of Clemson, South Carolina, nothing to do there besides play football. In Austin, I just think there's a lot of distractions. And look, that the coaches have to figure out a way around that, but I do think that's part of why, like, as Austin has grown and become just sort of a major city, you're seeing the football program kind of go in the opposite direction.
But they're having a lot of sex success at...
They are having a lot of sex, too.
Well, they're having a lot of sex and success in College Station, and that's a thriving metropolis that you can put stack right up there against Austin.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. In Northgate's, all right. Fuego tacos
you got
is good.
You Dixie chicken?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. You don't have anything like that in Austin.
How much longer can we go here? Because I'm out. That's all I got, John.
Yeah, Todd, fire him. Todd, okay?
I hope he's not awake yet.
Oh, he's awake. Oh, he's listening to you. He's listening to you. Besmirched College Station. He heard you. He heard you. Not much to talk about last night for the Rockets are just so hard to watch, dude.
Yeah.
I watched that game, and, I mean, it's just hard to concentrate while you're watching it and actually, you know, break it down because it's just such piss-poor basketball. And I don't, you know what? I don't want to keep saying that over and over and over again, and I don't want to. But when you shoot 26% from three and 37% from the field, my goodness, it is so unbelievable. Here, I honestly watched. There was a stretch when DJ Augustine and Armani Brooks were in, where it was actually a game, and it looked like there was some semblance of an offense. It looked like there was, you know, hey, we've got a point guard in the game. He's getting the ball to a guy who's hot. Armani makes a couple of threes, and it's like, wow, this looks pretty good. And then it's back to up and down and throwing the ball all over the place and just really horrible, horrible basketball. It's just impossible. When Şengün was in there, when DJ was in there, Armani, it just seemed like they had some cohesiveness.
Yeah, I don't get the rotations at all. I mean, I get that Steven Silas doesn't have a lot to work with talent-wise, but his rotations make absolutely no sense. And the fact that Daniel Theis had the same number of shots as Jalen Green last night makes absolutely no sense to me. And I'm with you. Like, guys will get into a rhythm. They'll start to play well, and then Silas will make a move. He'll take a guy out.
I needed you to clarify that. Yeah. Which one should have more shots, Theis or Green?
Green.
Should he?
Yeah, that's...
Wait a minute. Should he, though? I mean, wait a minute. You're serious about that?
I'm serious about that.
Okay. Do you see his numbers?
I see his numbers.
Okay.
But that's your guy. That's the guy you have to build around. Like, when you're down by 30 points in the fourth quarter, that guy needs to be in. What are you saving him for? No. That guy needs reps. He needs to be, like, the focal point of this team.
Yeah, I don't know. I think his minus 25, his average minus on the season has to be over 20. His plus minus has to be right there as the worst in the entire NBA. Why keep him on the floor when, you know, you're floundering offensively? You actually look like you have some semblance every time he's off the floor. And this is the guy you want taking more shots?
Yeah, it is.
It is.
I just want to see something for the future.
I want to just take a look at
his numbers
and see and see your logic here, because this is the guy that you want taking more shots, the guy that's shooting 37% from the field and 27% from three. But he is a good free throw shooter. He's shooting 80% from the free throw line. So there's that.
There you go.
But the 37%. Now, if he was 37% from three, I'd say, man, you're onto something here.
Right.
But this is from the floor, Brad.
I get that. I get that. Look, I can't sit here and act like he's been great this season, but I want to see more of him. Like, it's just, I want him in games instead of Daniel House down the stretch. I want him getting minutes over Nwaba down the stretch. Like, I want to see the guys that are supposed to be part of your future getting more experience against NBA talent. It's not going to help you necessarily win right now. I mean, this team, they're nowhere close to the talent that the Boston Celtics have, but these are the guys that need experience to try to get them better in the future.
I think, you know, I think this is a Davis Mills kind of situation. I've seen enough already, kind of. I think I know what
I got.
You're
closing the book on Jalen Green?
No, I'm not closing the book on Jalen, and I'm not closing the book on Davis Mills either. I'd like to see him back out there losing football games for the Texans because what they did on Sunday was disgusting. Winning that football game. Jimbo Fisher's joining us on the other side right here. We'll ask him about College Station versus Austin, as opposed to, we'll see if his thoughts aren't different than Brad Kellner's about College Station versus Austin.
Should we ask him if he's interested in the UT job? He's been asked about the LSU job a million times. Should we ask him about UT if it opens up? Want to get his thoughts on that?
He's still the number one candidate for LSU.
Yeah.
Despite everything that he said. All right, when we come back, Jimbo Fisher joins us here on your home for Aggie football. MyBookie is what we're talking about right now. MyBookie.ag, promo code BET975. When you deposit up to $1,000, and I don't care if you've never been on or been on or haven't been on, whatever the case may be, everybody gets up to $1,000 matched by MyBookie.ag. Listen, if you go to mybookie.ag right now, you'll see all of the betting on. It's just ridiculous. And the cool thing, live in-game betting is so sweet. And any big game or game of interest, they will have live in-game betting. And you can, it's fantastic because your team that you like could fall behind and that line could change drastically. And you can, that's when you can jump on it, especially if your team falls behind early. Then you can jump on it and you can, and get the kind of odds that you want. That's the sweetness of betting live. NFL, NBA, college football, college basketball, blackjack, golf, NHL, soccer, MMA, everything you could possibly want. I'm serious. There is nothing you can't bet on at mybookie.ag, promo code BET975.
This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5. Welcome back to The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
7:14 on your home for the Aggies, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Brought to you by Damaris Barbecue. That's where a couple of good Aggs reside. The Damaris brothers, Yanni and Frankie, both went to Texas A&M, and they wanted to support the coach here on ESPN 97.5. And so they sponsor Jimbo Fisher every week right here on the Flagstick Station in Houston, Texas. That's not easy to say. Jimbo Fisher, coach, welcome to the show. How are you?
Good, guys. How you doing?
Doing great. Brad Kellner's with me today. Lance is off because he's lazy, coach. Taking a week off right during the football season. It's unbelievable.
Wow. We don't get weeks off.
No. No. Even when you were, coach, when you had your week off, you were still working. I asked you, did you go to the beach? What'd you do? And you were like, no, I was working, right?
Exactly. Dadgum. I mean, I tell boy, times have changed, man. Dadgum.
Lazy. That's what these kids like Lance, these kids nowadays, coach, that's how they are. So what do you make of, it's Coach O's last game, coach, and those guys are going to play, you're going to get LSU playing hard for that coach, don't you?
Oh, go watch the games. They played hard. I mean, like the last three games have been 20-14, Alabama beat them. They went no time with Arkansas and lost 16-13, and then 27-14, ULM. They've given up 20, their defense, they've totally changed their defense since the break. So what I mean is, coach, schematic, scheme, everything. They've given up 20, they've given up 13 regulation, 16 with overtime, and then gave up 14 last week. So, I mean, if they're playing hard, they're playing tough. Offensively, just scoring, they got scoring enough points to do what they have to do. Quarterback's throwing the ball well, got great skill guys, and they just keep battling. And this, the last game of the year, all that pride and seniors, I mean, it's gonna be a heck of a football game.
Yeah, what are they doing different defensively?
I mean, Charlie Chain, they went from non-blitzing, I mean, they blitzed about 10-12% of the time to probably blitzing about 60-62% of the time. They're totally different fronts. Coverage just changed everything.
Well, and so
which is hard to do during an off week. They did it over that off week before Alabama. That's why I think one of the things they shocked Alabama with, and they've kept it up, and they've got really good players.
Yeah. And yeah, and they were switching off. They had Nussmeier in there. Now they got Johnson back in there. So that's something that you got to prepare for as well, right?
I'm sorry, you broke up.
They were switching quarterbacks the last few weeks. That's something that you got to.
Yeah, they are, but I think Max is going to play now. But I mean, if you know the other quarterback plays, I mean, if he plays right now, they're both really good, both control the football. You have to be prepared for both guys and all aspects. So you got to get ready to play. And like I say, this time of year, you're banged, you're bruised, you're battered, and that's why you got to finish this thing strong. We still have a chance to have a heck of a season. I mean, we can still finish this thing and get to a great bowl game and finish up, you know, really well.
Coach, this has become a really good rivalry in college football over the last few years, and you guys have played some classic games against LSU. You know, in a rivalry game like this, do you change your mindset? Do you change the way you coach to get your guys ready to go?
No, you don't, because that's the thing. It's still a football game. And when emotions get into things, you don't make good decisions. You know, you're going to play hard. You should play hard all the time. Your opponent becomes, as we always tell them, it's faithless just because the standard has to be our standard and what we want to play. And like I say, you have to do the things that allow you to be successful, and you can't not do those.
Jimbo Fisher with us here, brought to you by Damaris Barbecue on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You guys have coaches' meetings, league meetings, Coach. You get to know coaches a little bit. It is a rivalry, and LSU did stick it to you in their national championship year. What's your relationship like with Coach O?
I mean, we just know me. I've always had Coach O. I had great respect for him as an assistant, as a head coach, where he's been, what he's done. He's had a lot of success in the things that he's done, and he has to he's going to put his team in a great position to win. He motivates them well and does well, and I don't know him personally that well. I've never been around him as far as off the field, but in meetings, he's great.
Do you understand him all the time?
Oh, yeah. I lived over there for 7 years.
he's a different kind of Cajun, though. He's deep Cajun now. He's
Well, he's South Louisiana. I mean, that's it. That's, South Louisiana people are great people.
Oh.
I mean, they really are. I mean, they're, you know, genuine love. I mean, they have a great time. They enjoy the thing. They're proud of the state and what they do and how they do it, and they're really wonderful people.
Now, this is your last appearance with us this year, Coach, and we really appreciate what you being here and your candor all season long. Tell us what you're really happy with that happened this year with this football team, and some of the things that maybe you'd like to improve on in the off season.
Well, I'm always wanting to improve on things and get better. But what I am proud of is we had some adversity early in the year. Had a lot of young players. I mean, playing a ton of true freshmen that are starting now because of major injuries. And the proud of Zach, the way he competed and evolved as a player and as a leader, and the toughness he played with, competitive, and had some tough outings in the beginning. And you know, people on him, and he's on himself. And the way he battled back, and the way he played in the Alabama game, the Auburn game. I mean, all those games and led us back to a very successful, a season that we can be proud of, and where we finished. The young lineman that took over things and the way our coaches adapted to that situation. We had lost two tough games and with a ton of injuries and what we had had, and to overcome that and put ourselves back, our competitiveness, the culture of which we keep developing about how to compete, the way to compete. And, you got to learn to always win those games. There's always a fine line of getting over that hump. We could have gotten over every hump we had. We have lost some very, very tough football games, but this led you to win them. But I think the maturity and the competitiveness and we never quit of our kids and our staff, and I'm very proud of. And then, is everything perfect? No, there's a lot we got to work on and improve, but we're right there. We're right on the cusp of doing some really great things, which we're doing good things, but there's some great things, I think, on the horizon.
Coach, if you would, talk about your backfield a little bit. I mean, everybody knows about Spiller and A-Chain. Those guys have been there for a couple of years. They've been great players for a long time. But you got Amari Daniels some run. You got L.J. Johnson Jr. some run in the win over Prairie View. You know, talk about those two freshmen and kind of the future of your running back room.
Well, I mean, those guys are very talented guys, and I think they're the next wave of guys that's going to come in. You're going to be very proud of. They're big, they're physical, they catch the ball. I mean, they their natural backs with the ball. When you watch them run, you watch them in practice, like, that's why I've been very, you know, happy with the future where we're going. They're very natural with the ball in their hand. And, you know, like you say, backs, so you're having to coach a back how to run. You've recruited the wrong guy. There's a lot of things you can teach him, a lot of things he can work on, but the ability to pad levels and you can work on that. But those guys both have great pad levels, natural cut, natural vision, natural instincts to cut off things, to press blocks, to do the things you have to do. And they probably do it. I mean, they do it really well. And just, I think, has a bright future there. I love those guys. And they're both very team guys, like I say, very talented guys. And sometimes as freshmen, they have been discontent. You know, they want to play more. They want to do more, but they understand the situation and know their time's coming. But they've been great team guys also.
Coach, it's such a scheduling oddity that the SEC kind of dips out of conference play late in the season. I mean, you guys took care of Prairie View in a big way last weekend. You know, do you have to coach against any sort of letdown? Like, a bunch of guys got run. It was a blowout early. You guys were coasting for the majority of the game last weekend. Is there any sort of fear of, like, guys maybe taking their foot off the gas a little bit and having to turn things on as you go to take on a really good LSU team?
I don't think. I mean, it's LSU, man, like you say. The SEC game, they understand the importance of the game. A lot of these guys played against a lot of these guys. They know it, and they know that, you know, we've had great games with them, and like you say, developing into a nice rivalry in what we're doing. So I don't feel that at all. I think our guys will compete, finish, and do the things they want to do like they have all year.
Coach, Jim O'Fisher with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Coach, you were put in a tough spot here when you lose your starting quarterback, and then you know, Zach comes in and he does a good job, but Zach got hurt in that Alabama game, and all of a sudden you're looking at a walk-on that's possibly got to come in here. Yeah. With the transfer portal, it used to be you'd have 3, 4, maybe even 5 scholarship quarterbacks in the quarterback room. Now, how are you going to get through a couple of injuries at the quarterback position with this transfer portal?
It's hard. I mean, it's very hard. You got to have them. And I mean, you're looking at anybody who loses a starting quarterback now, and we were blessed to have a very talented guy that stayed there and fought and competed for the job. We were one of the blessed few that could put a guy in that could go win games. I mean, he took us on 2-minute drives. He's done an outstanding job. He's a very, very talented young man and going to be a great player. I mean, developing into a really great player. But, you know, a lot of schools are all in that situation. I mean, there's a bunch of schools probably in the top 4 or 5. If they lost their guy, they'd be stuck. And that's the nature of the beast today. And you got to try to develop that. You got to find and get guys behind and find alternative ways to move the ball and be creative and all the things you got to do. And it's much different than it used to be. You're exactly right.
What's your advice to guys? Because there's thousands of kids in that portal, and there's maybe even thousands of kids that are disappointed because they think, oh, I'm going to go in there and I'm going to get picked up right away. Well, you're not picked up right away. What's your advice to kids these days?
A lot of guys are being left out completely. Yeah. I mean, my advice is, you know, things, like I always say, things are never that bad. Have patience. Grind through things. And if it gets to the end the last couple of years or something like that, you know, you got to make a move. But those early moves, man, they really bother me, but they scare me for the young men. So I think they're missing out on the ability to compete and grind through things. You never know how things are going to turn out. And always, like I say, there's so many things in life that you know that they look awful. It's never going to work out. And all of a sudden it does. You just keep working and persevering and putting your head down. And you got to learn that trait. And the other thing is there is times to transfer. There's times when things, you know, you want to play there your last year or two and things are getting to a point where, you know, it's not going to work out. And you move and you see that. But I think just be patient and also be diligent about how you go about your business and work and learn to overcome things, learn to beat guys out, learn to do all that. And it's going to be a great life trait, but it's going to also, you know, you're going to put yourself in some bad situations when you just keep running.
Yeah. Jimbo Fisher with us here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Well, Coach, man, we really appreciate you this year. It's been a fun ride. A lot of ups and downs, some downs, but that's okay. You guys had a really, really nice season. Going to go to
now. Well, that's football. Yeah, I hate to say it though. If you look through football, most of the time there's a lot of downs, and there's a few downs and a lot of ups. But that's just kind of every season you ever have. I mean, there's very few undefeated seasons. Unfortunately, I wish there could be every year too.
Yeah,
but that's kind of the way it is, and that's what life is, what ball is, and that's the way it's always going to be. And yeah, it's been great.
Well, we can tell by the rankings that you guys are still respected, and you guys are going to get a great bowl game, I'm sure. So it's you had quite the successful season. And these seniors, Coach, how many guys you losing?
Not many. There's not many seniors on this team, and there's still guys who want to come back and get their extra year. So we're going through that right now. There won't be many.
Well, that's great. That bodes well for.
We still don't know. You don't know the exact number totally until you guys make a decision, but. You know, there was 15 that did it on Saturday, on senior day, and approximately like 8 or 9 of those were walk-on guys.
That's nice. Nice. Well, it bodes well for you in the future there at Texas A&M. Well, Coach, we really appreciate it, man. Thanks for hanging with us all year long. You're great all season, and we appreciate all of your candor.
Thank you. Y'all have a great Thanksgiving.
All right, you too. Jimbo Fisher right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5, brought to you by Damaris Barbecue every week right here. So that's the coach with us here. All done. And we didn't ask him about it. He ain't going to LSU. Mm. And you know what? It sucks that yesterday there was a tweet out by who was it? Larry Brown Sports put out a story here. Kentucky Sports Radio Matt Jones, well connected on matters related to Kentucky athletics, reported that LSU had contacted Kentucky football coach Mark Stoops.
Ooh.
Jones says an LSU source reached out to him and shared LSU's top three candidates. Number one, Jimbo Fisher. Number two, Bill O'Brien. And number three, Mark Stoops. That sucks for Jimbo because he's out there trying to recruit, and his name continues to be out there. He can't deny it any harder than he has.
Right.
He said constantly he wants to be there. He's got a ranch there. He's recruited great there. He loves the university. He loves the president. Loves the athletic director. He's not going anywhere. You know, take my name off. It's flattering, but it's also can be harmful because he's trying to get kids. And oh, look, you know, competing recruiters are going to go, oh, look, Jimbo's going to LSU. What are you doing?
Yeah.
No, he's not. He's not going to LSU.
I mean, until LSU officially hires its next coach, there's going to be some people out there who believe that Jimbo's going.
Well, and the tie to LSU is Scott Woodward,
right,
obviously, the athletic director. But you know what? Jimbo will probably... And it's so funny. I mean, you got to look at Texas A&M. This is a great place to coach football, you know. And, I know it doesn't have the national championships and all of that stuff, but man, you want to talk about facilities and you want to talk about resources and backing by the boosters and everything else, by the fan base. It's fantastic. So he's doing a great job there. He's still going to be, I would imagine, he's still going to be a guy that people look to and say, hey, Jim, how about Jimbo? Let's go get Jimbo. Every year this could be the case for the Aggies.
Yeah, and he's got everything he should have to be successful there. Like you said, I mean, that school has been a sleeping giant for a long, long time, and it feels like Jimbo's got it going in the right direction. I don't know if he wants to leave and not necessarily completely start from scratch, but it feels like A&M's a lot closer to competing than LSU right now.
But like he said, man, I've got everything right here. And he keeps mentioning his ranches.
Yep.
And he loves to be at his ranch. I asked him, you know, when he had his bye week, I said, did you watch? He said, oh, no, after an 11 o'clock game. I said, did you go and watch the Alabama game? He goes, nah, I went to my ranch. I had a headache. I went and laid down and had a nice time at my ranch. He loves his ranch. So you ain't going to get that in a lot of places. He's got it here. All right, it's 729 here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. Brad Kellner hanging out. We'll talk about what the Texans did. Coach Culley had some interesting comments we'll talk about on the other side, right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. The Kings are on the air. This is The Bench with John Granato and Lance Erline on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back. 732-713-780-3776 is the number to get in to hang out with us. Let's talk some Texans football. And if you want to talk some Texans football, this is an interesting quote from Coach Culley. Asked about his offensive line play. Now, I don't know. Did you watch the game?
I did.
You did. It was hard. It was a hard game to watch. It's hard to keep interest in the Rockets and the Texans. It's hard, and I just don't want to be that negative guy all the time. They're two of the worst teams in the league. I mean, that's not arguable. I don't want to keep bashing them, but they had 83 yards rushing on 38 carries. 2.2 per. So when asked about the offensive, and then, you know, Terod, he didn't get sacked, which was nice, but he threw the ball 24 times. 38 rushes, 24. A lot of three and outs. That happened. 190 total yards of offense. When asked about his offensive line play, here's Coach Culley.
Well, one of the reasons our pass protection was pretty good, we had no sacks, so we only threw it 23 times. and we rushed the ball without Tyrod 31 times, which has a lot to do with that. The rushing yardage and per carry wasn't there, but the attempts were there, and that was important to be able to have those attempts. And when you do that, you know, it takes the pressure off those guys. And when we did throw, most of the time it was off of a play action. And when Ty got a little pressure, he was able to get out and make some things happen on his run. And that was all on with his feet. And that was all because of us being able to run the ball, attempt to run the ball.
Oh, man.
That's so.
Did you really just say that?
Well, it's so.
Our ability to attempt to run the ball.
It's impressive, that's, coach.
That is impressive. Your ability to attempt to run the ball.
Wow. He said a lot of dumb things this year. That might be the dumbest, John. And I did the math. I took out Tyrod Taylor's.
At 4.7?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The running back runs for the Texans on Sunday, 1.7 yards per carry. And you've got your head coach.
But they had a lot of attempts.
They did have a lot of attempts. That is very impressive. Very stupid also.
So they had 31. You wanted to talk about balance. They had 31 rushes. And they actually had, they tried to throw the ball 30 times because Tyrod scrambled for positive yardage on those six runs. So it was 31 and 30. Their run attempts are impressive. You know, balanced foot. That's balanced football, Brad.
Yep. That's what you're looking for.
That's what you call balance.
Try to be two-dimensional.
You averaged 4.5 yards per pass attempt and 2.2 yards per rush attempt. Well, not really. It was less. It was 1.7 on true rush attempts.
Yeah.
That double talk is really, I've heard a lot over the years, a lot of coach double talk, a lot of trying to a lot of justifications and a lot of explaining. That was that was one of the more interesting ones of offensive line play, is their rush attempts. You know, how good they feel about their number of attempts. Not rushing the ball, how they felt about their number of attempts.
Mike Leach is rolling over in his grave right now. I guess he's alive still, but
yeah.
Like,
he's rolling over in his bed, maybe.
I've never heard a coach tout rushing attempts. I mean, the Texans are dead last in the NFL in yards per carry, yet every week I feel like we hear Coley talk about establishing the run. And he tries it every single week, and it's the definition of insanity, right? Doing the same thing over and over again, but expecting different results. They don't have a great passing game. They don't have an elite quarterback, but the fact that they just keep trying to do this and they're married to the idea of being a good run team when we're 10 games into the season and they're not that, it blows my mind that they're still trying to pull this off.
Well, here's the thing, though. I had a coach that, when in college, we had a really good high school team, but we had a coach in college who used to say, listen, we may be small, but we're slow. So so here's the problem if you try to do anything different if you're the Texans, is they can't run the ball, but they can't pass the ball either. So you got a bit of a conundrum there, because they're really this wide receiver crew. When you got you got three targets for Brandon Cooks, that's a problem. He's your really only really good. Look at the wide receiving core that they have. I mean, Chris Conley, Brandon Cooks, Chris Moore, Nico Collins, and Danny Amendola. Mm. That's not exactly, you know, that's not exactly the 80s 49ers, you know?
Not it's, quite.
No. And I just don't get. He's got to do this, though. I mean, hey, we got a lot of attempts again this week. Way to go, guys.
Yeah.
We got our attempts in there. But what else are you going to do?
Yeah, I mean, there's not a lot to work with. I mean, I will say the 30 dropbacks that Tyrod Taylor had on Sunday, they averaged 4.5 yards per play. And the running back runs, like we talked about, 1.7 yards per play. So, I mean, that's close to a three times difference there. Now, 4.5 yards per play when you drop back is awful. That'd be dead last in the league among starting quarterbacks. So it's not like that's good. But if your goal is to win games, which it shouldn't be, but the Texans have preached all year long, like that's their goal, is to go out and win football games, then it probably makes sense to stop banging your head against the wall and stop trying to run with Rex Burkhead. Stop trying to make that dude a between the tackles back when he hasn't been that ever. And he sure as hell isn't that on the wrong side of 30.
Yeah. Well, you have to add in his rushes if you're going to do dropbacks 30. You got to add 28 yards. So it's a little bit higher than 4.8, but it's still less than 5. So, and it's 1.7. So, 135 yards passing in dropbacks anyway, because he rushed for 28 yards. But listen, winning that football game was about as bad a thing. They're fourth right now. The Texans are sitting at 4. Now, I've got full hope, but they got the Jets this week.
They do.
And
they're favored. Can you believe that?
That's just the worst thing ever. Well, I mean, who's playing? Is Joe Flacco? Is Flacco their guy this week?
No idea.
So in the next 3 weeks, they got the Jets, then the Colts, and then the Seahawks. Three straight home games, which, by the way, don't they have they've got a promotion going on right now. Because the Texans won this week, there's a big promotion, Brad.
The Papa John's?
No.
Oh, I did eat that for dinner last night.
You had that. Somebody asked me to ask you.
Yeah.
What did you get at Papa John's? Just you got a half something?
Can you not ask me, please?
That's what they said. Ask him and what he got last night at Papa John's and his stomach. How's his stomach today?
Feeling great, man.
You feel great.
It's fine dining.
Why? You wait a minute. You're a Papa John's kind of guy?
Papa John's kind of guy.
Are you really?
And it's 50% off the day after a Texans win. So I haven't had it. I haven't had dinner on a Monday, John, in 2 months. I'm starving myself since week one.
But you just did yesterday.
Did yesterday.
And?
It's glorious.
It's half off.
Half off. I got lunch today, too. I still spent $30 at Papa John's despite having 50% off.
Wait, so you're what did you get for $60 at Papa? Can't you get like 12 pizzas for $60 at Papa John's?
No, I wish.
What do you get?
I got like two large pizzas. And they've got these new like bacon jalapeno popper rolls. Got some cheese bread. And I got like the brownie thing, too.
Oh, wow. You went
yeah.
Well,
I got food until Thanksgiving.
Maybe you can freeze it for next Monday when you're not going to get a half off.
It's not a bad idea.
Right?
I'm not hoping they could beat the Jets because that's going to ruin their draft pick. But dinner plans next Monday hopes that they beat the Jets.
Yeah. No. There's a possibility. And so you'll be able to eat after your Thanksgiving. But then the Colts, and you're not winning that. Now, the Seahawks and then at the Jags. You know what? This team's got a chance to win 3 games this year, okay? Or maybe 4.
Right.
What if the Texans hit the over?
Wow.
With 100 and – here's if I've got the under, I am so pissed. 190 yards of total offense.
Yep.
And you beat the Titans at the Titans. That was a guaranteed win. The first place team in the AFC, you go there and get 190 yards of offense and win. I'm so pissed right now if I've got that underplay. Now, if I got the over, I'm like, wow. But I don't know that anyone in the world bet the over on the Texans season total.
They shouldn't have. But really, I mean, 3 of these next 4 games are winnable.
I mean, they really are.
The Jets aren't good. The Seahawks, I know Russ is back, but they haven't been good even with him. And obviously the Jags, that's the team you beat already this year. So it could actually get something going, which scares the hell out of me.
And they're none too apparently they're none too pleased with Trevor Lawrence's his progress so far.
He's been bad. Like, nobody talks about it because nobody cares about the Jags. Everybody focuses on, you know, Zach Wilson in New York and Justin Fields in Chicago. But Trevor Lawrence has been awful this year.
Your rookie of the year right now.
Man, I'd go with Mac Jones. I mean, I'm partial to the quarterback. I always am. And the quarterback play the Patriots got last year was so atrociously bad. Like, seeing what Mac Jones has done this year has been impressive. But obviously, Jamar, it's right there. So, still up for grabs. It feels like it's those two in the lead, though.
Yeah, I think it might still be Jamar. But, yeah, Mac Jones is obviously at the quarterback position. And with Bill Belichick and leading the division, he's probably going to run away with it if they continue to go like this. But he's a game manager. But he's making some plays for him. He is making some plays. There's no question about that. All right, 743 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. I got to tell you right now about Champion, being a champion of energy. And it's a locally owned and operated company. It's a great company. And if you're looking for a great way to save money, I know it's getting cool out, so you're not using your air conditioner as much. We still use ours every night. And you know what? That room's got to be cool so you can sleep. And we love love Champion Energy because, listen, I just pay less than you do. I don't know. You know, there's all kinds of these ones, these business. Oh, well, look at our rate. Look at this rate. It's much better than Champions. And then when they tack on all of the bills, when they tack on all of the different fees that they have, you're like, what the bleep? Holy crap. And that's where they get you. And they don't have the gotchas at Champion Energy. Look, Alex Bregman uses this. Are you going to doubt Alex Bregman? No, you're not going to doubt Alex Bregman. He is a champion guy. You be a champion guy or girl. All you have to do is go to champion.energy/1560, champion.energy/1560.
G'day, mates. This is Sam Windsor of the Houston Sabercats. When I'm not playing rugby, I'm listening to John and Lance on the bench. Go Sabercats.
The conversation continues on the bench on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, one of the big stories yesterday, the NBA didn't waste any time in bringing down suspensions for LeBron James and Isaiah Stewart after the melee that they had on Sunday night. LeBron gets one game and Isaiah Stewart gets two. So,
are we calling that a melee?
Well, it was a rhubarb.
Okay.
Okay.
Isn't that a fruit or a tree?
Yeah, but it was a melee, a rhubarb. It was in Detroit. Okay. It was the malice in the palace. Okay. It was. It could have gotten ugly. They had to tell the fans, do not come on the court. Okay.
That's funny.
Now, one game for LeBron, who I saw a lot of people, that's horse bleep. You know, they were pissed that LeBron only got one game, while Stewart, who was bloodied by LeBron. Was it an accident? I don't know. There was a little, they had a little tete-a-tete minutes before that as well, with elbows flying. So maybe LeBron, there was some purpose to LeBron doing what he did. But LeBron was certainly the instigator, right?
Right. Yeah, look, I don't know if it was intentional. Maybe there was a little bit there because of, like you said, what took place a couple of minutes before. LeBron was the instigator, but John, if Isaiah Stewart doesn't react the way that he reacts, there's no suspensions for anybody here.
Right.
Like, LeBron still gets ejected. He still gets that flagrant too, and he's done. But there's no suspension at all for either guy if Isaiah Stewart doesn't completely lose his mind. And I'm not going to be too mad at Stewart for getting upset that a guy just elbowed him in the face and bloodied him up like that. But, like, that's – I don't know why people are surprised that that dude got a suspension for acting the way that he acted.
No, but whose should have been longer?
I mean, I would have argued they should have been the same. I would have argued it should have been one game each. I can't argue that LeBron should have been longer than Isaiah Stewart because, once again, he doesn't get suspended at all if Isaiah Stewart doesn't act the way that he did. And that was an act that lasted minutes and completely delayed the game. So, yeah, I'm not completely shocked. I get it. People think that the league coddles LeBron. And look, the league has been coddling superstars forever. This is not a new era basketball thing. The league has been coddling its best players for a long time. So, I don't know. I mean, I don't know what you expected the league to do here. They're not going to suspend LeBron multiple games for throwing an elbow. Like, that's just not how this
works. Yeah, and he's LeBron. But, you know, Jay Williams, was this on the show before us or was this yesterday? It was this morning. Here's Jay Williams talking about it, that the league got it wrong.
You may not have liked the fact that Isaiah Stewart was trying to get to LeBron James. If you ever gotten bowed in the face during a game, which I have, you kind of go through this experience where you get knocked down and you're angry. You might get up. But when you start seeing blood, there's kind of rage there. You're like,
there's a reason people
bleeding?
Say he saw red.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm bleeding. Yeah.
So you may not have liked the way Isaiah Stewart tried to get at LeBron James. But once again, it was him and his teammates. He was trying to get through his teammates, which he never got through his teammates. So whatever that example was, I said, LeBron James, if you give him one game, then fine. Isaiah Stewart, give him no games. I just thought it sets the example that LeBron James, hey, you can make a ill-advised play and we're going to reprimand you. But then, hey, this kid reacted the wrong way, even though he didn't come in contact with anybody. And we're going to give him two game suspension. I thought it was a missed opportunity by the NBA.
I see that. I see that. And listen, Jay Williams not siding with LeBron. He's coming after. He's coming after. Michelle, what's her name? The guy was on ESPN. Michelle Beadle. Michelle Beadle came out this weekend and said LeBron tried to get her fired at ESPN. And, you know, it might have helped. It might have worked because the fact that she would no longer watch NFL football as a host of a morning show, that she said she, because of, I think it was because of another domestic violence incident, that she said, I will never watch another NFL game. Well, I don't know that you can host a morning show on ESPN then.
So we should be thanking LeBron for that?
Yeah, I don't know that it was LeBron so much as Michelle Beadle doing that to herself. But, you know, Joe LeBron's got, you know, vendettas now. Jay Williams, you made the list, buddy, by not agreeing that LeBron should have gotten less than Isaiah Stewart. I certainly see that point. Here's the thing is, so the Lakers schedule coming up is they play at New York tonight. Tomorrow they play Indiana, Friday Sacramento, and then they got Detroit on Sunday.
Okay.
Okay, so four games. That's the fourth game. For Detroit, Miami, at Milwaukee, at L.A., and then at the Clippers, and then at the Lakers. So each guy can serve a suspension, and they can meet up on Sunday again.
Think we'll see anything on Sunday?
I wouldn't be surprised at all if Isaiah Stewart doesn't come back at him now. Isaiah was PO'd.
Yeah. I mean, it is the NBA in 2021, though, so when guys are PO'd, what do? I mean, they don't actually throw punches, right?
They'll tweet something ugly.
Yeah, they'll tweet something ugly.
You tweet something at them.
They'll throw some shade on social media.
Right.
And that'll be it.
Right.
Yeah, that'll
happen. What if he says he sends some kind of ugly tweet at LeBron? Then what?
Then LeBron might send an ugly tweet back.
Well,
you might see the whole banana
boat
crew.
I think LeBron will just block him.
Yeah.
And then bygones will be bygones because he got him back with his ugly tweet.
He'll tweet out a couple of emojis, like the suddenly taking a jab.
LeBron, you're a poo emoji.
I got to love the NBA in 2021, John. It's the best.
It is a constant drama, that's for sure. But we got a reason to watch Pistons-Lakers on Sunday night. Let's see if ESPN picks that one up now. Well, I mean, you don't know. They'll be cutting in. NBA TV will be cutting in to see what's going on with Isaiah Stewart. Maybe they both appeal. If I was the league, I would say you're both serving on that Sunday night.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Like
make the appeal process last a couple of games, and then both of them are out.
Yeah. Apparently, if you do the appeal process, though, you've got to go to New York and plead your case and everything else, and they're both going to be on the West Coast. I don't know if that's possible.
There's no way they're letting LeBron miss a Lakers-Knicks game, right? You said that's the next game for the Lakers?
Yeah.
So, like, they're going to let the appeal go through that game so we can play at the Garden.
Yeah, at the Garden.
Yeah. They're not missing that.
And it's on TNT.
You know, I'm kind of disappointed in Isaiah Stewart, though, John. Like, it was a weird scene. After they broke up the fight initially, Isaiah Stewart was, like, getting kind of pushed back by four teammates and coaches towards the other side of the floor. And as soon as they let up, Isaiah Stewart dodged them, ran all the way back, and he got within 5 feet of LeBron, and he stopped on his own. Like, he had the chance to do what a lot of people all around the world have wanted to do for years and just punch LeBron James right in the face. He was right there, and he did sort of the own hold me back thing. Now, he would have been suspended for a long time, so cooler heads prevailed. The right move by Isaiah Stewart, but man, he had gotten the opportunity to do that.
That's one of those things. I don't even know if cooler heads prevailed, because even after that, he ran around the tunnel, was trying to get to him through the concourse.
Yeah, but was he trying to get to him?
Was he really trying to get to him? Well, that's one of those things where you come up on somebody, you're talking a lot, and then all of a sudden you go, man, that dude's pretty big. If I had to pick in that fight, I'm going with the dude with the shields on his shoulders, right? Isn't that Captain America that he's got going on his shoulder thing, that tat that he's got going on? I don't like Isaiah Stewart in that situation. Right? If he got to LeBron, I'm going to go LeBron in this. I know he's older. I know he's an old man.
I mean, this would have been like the...
But he's old man strong, too.
This would have been the Rougned Odor cheap shot on Bautista, to where, like, he would have gotten the punch, and then there wouldn't have been time for LeBron to really react.
Yeah.
Like, that would have been the chance that Stewart had. And he had a chance. He had an unimpeded path to go get LeBron, so... I don't know. That would have been Malice at the Palace Part 2 kind of stuff.
Yeah, no, that would have been fun. Yeah. If he got to LeBron and all of a sudden it spills over Now all of a sudden the fans are in there, beers thrown, punches. That would have been great.
And they play at Little Caesars Arena, so people are just throwing pizza onto the court right now. That would have been spectacular.
Did you have you seen, are you a big doc guy? Did you see the doc of the Malice in the Palace?
Yes.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Yeah, it was great.
It was really good. Mm-hmm. Really good. Clearly that was a brouhaha, but even at that, just barely above a hullabaloo. Mm. Yeah. I can see that.
I was thinking kerfuffle because that sounds like
a
soft word.
It was a bit of a kerfuffle.
Yeah.
A baseball fight.
Yeah.
A lot of times.
That's fair.
Those are kerfuffles. But basketball can get a couple kerfuffles in too.
Right.
Yeah. And that was, and that happens a lot where, you know, you're standing there and you've got a shot, but you're like, hold me back.
Mm-hmm.
Hold me back. 713-780-3776. If you got any thoughts on LeBron and the kerfuffle, you're more than welcome to get in here on that. A little Astros news on the other side. We'll give you a little Astros taste. Well, kind of a taste. We will hear from a guy who's trying to court Carlos Correa. The guy who's trying to court Carlos Correa on the other side right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.